Hey, everybody, you are listening to Conservative Reality Check. I am your host, Amy Riccardi. I hope you guys are having a great day today. There is a ton of news. So it is Thursday, December 17th, and I am just getting my day started as usual. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of a summary. My last podcast was just 2 days ago on Tuesday, where things were getting teed up for the week. So gosh, we've got a lot going on today. So let me just kind of dive right in. So let's see, we had on Tuesday, a U.S. Senate committee, Armed Services Committee hearing, their subcommittee on cybersecurity. They had a private briefing on Tuesday. You have to believe that DNI's Director Ratcliffe was there to brief them on all that stuff. And the reason I say that is because yesterday it came out that there is some internal scuffling around what should actually be in that report. So we're going to dive into that today a little bit. If you had the chance to see the public hearing yesterday on the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, talking about the irregularities in the 2020 election, that was quite an entertaining hearing to watch. So I caught glimpses and parts of that. We'll talk about that too. I also want to talk a little bit more about what happened on Monday with the Michigan legislators and the electoral the electors in Michigan too. And then I'm going to give you some updates on the Antrim County Dominion voting issues stuff. And if you haven't been following any of that, that is actually a pretty big bombshell report that came out of Michigan. So a lot coming out of Michigan right now, plus a lot of other things too. So we've also got the link down, remember, show notes below has all highlights of all this stuff and lots of links to my sources on some of this stuff. So you can go check it out for yourself. The declassified John Brennan notes came out this week as well about the Russia scandal and whatnot. So I'm going to share that with you. We might talk about that. And then finally, the DNI press release came out really late last night, you guys. In fact, I actually had to double check my source on this because it came out so late last night to kind of fly under the radar. So again, fun stuff. So this came out late last night. This is a joint statement by the FBI, CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And this is about that raid down in Austin, Texas, and the wide-ranging impact that might have. So we'll go over that too. Again, it was released, I believe, at 1806, so six after 6 o'clock last night. So, yeah. Interesting things. Right. So again, everything that's happening right now is happening for a reason. It is planned. It is timed. It's being done intentionally. You also have to realize too, that the deep state and the Democrats are not just going to roll over and just give this to Trump. They're going to put every roadblock in place to make this as difficult for Trump as possible. And I'll tell you something I still find incredibly fascinating is that Kamala Harris has not resigned her Senate seat yet. So if you are fully believing that you won this election, all is good, whatever, you would have resigned your position right now. So, and be working on the transition and getting yourself into your new office and getting everything squared away for that. And that's not happening right now, you guys. I mean, they're doing the transition piece, but she hasn't resigned her Senate seat. So keep that in mind too. So lots of good stuff today. So let me kind of dive right in. One of the things I haven't put in the show notes yet, but I will add, is this really awesome morning newsletter called Wake Up Right. And it is a fantastic quick summary of lots of different things going on in the world right now. They do it's an amazing little quick email in the morning that's really fantastic. So I want to just share with you a couple of fun facts that I've covered earlier, and I want to just kind of clean up. So we'll do a little bit of house cleaning here. So we had talked about dueling electors back on Tuesday, I believe. And so I want to just talk about that too. So that was Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. So five states have dueling electors, which is going to give the U.S. House and Senate the opportunity to debate those. Now, there was question of, you know, Mitch McConnell, idiot, came out with a statement congratulating Biden. And there's also rumors, I'm not sure if it's true or not, but there's actually rumors out there that he actually is encouraging the Republicans not to pressure the Electoral College or protest any of the electoral votes and let this all ride. And I think the rest of us patriots are going, what the hell are you talking about? We're not going to just let this ride. So we'll see what winds up happening. But we've got five states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada, who have all issued dueling electors. With that topic, and I'll come back to these other things in a minute, let's talk a little bit about what actually happened in Michigan. If you missed this, this is actually a pretty big deal. So on Monday, Governor Whitmer sent the state police to the Capitol building to keep the Republican electors from entering the state house. It was caught on video. It was pretty ridiculous. And basically, they weren't allowed to go in and do their duty. And so they literally were blocked from entering the state house. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I believe there might have been some Republican Michigan congressman there too. So the games have begun. She's going to find herself in a bunch of hot water, I think, when all this is said and done and justice actually prevails in all of this, which it will. So just want to share that with you. So there was some drama at the Michigan State House, which is no surprise because Whitmer is nothing but drama. So let's move right along. Let's stay in Michigan for a minute. Let's do the Antrim County stuff. So again, another piece of news, if you haven't seen it this week and didn't see it early in the week. So Antrim County Dominion voting issues were a concern. They did an audit of a part of Antrim County, and that audit found some really disturbing pieces of information. And so again, from Wake Up Right, it says the summary, we conclude that the Dominion voting systems is intentionally and purposefully designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud and influence election results. The error rate, okay, this is a good one. The allowable election error rate established by the Federal Election Commission guidelines is 1 in 250,000 ballots. So that's the error rate that the Federal Election Commission deems as acceptable. And if you want to do the percentage of that, that is 0.0008%. So every one, the highest level of error fraud or ballot error fraud is ballot error, not fraud, ballot error is just 1 in 250,000 ballots. They observed an error rate of 68.05%. 68% error rate. You guys, this is astounding. So the acceptable rate, 0.0008%, and this was 68%. So unbelievable. Under the topic of deleted logs, this was also interesting too. Logs for adjudication in the 2020 election were missing, but adjudicated logs for previous elections were still there. When an error occurs in the machine, in this case, 68% of the time, the votes are adjudicated by people on site. So the logs of those human reviews are missing. Okay, so every other election they've had them, this one, they don't have them. The report says that removal of these files violates state law and prevents a meaningful audit. The conclusion, we conclude that the Dominion voting system should not be used in Michigan. Okay, so that was just in Antrim County. My guess is they're going to start, they're going to put something out there soon to be able to do a much broader survey of what's going on. But if that happened in Antrim, then it's pretty widespread, not only in Michigan, but probably everywhere. So the question then becomes, in other states, what do those same error rates look like? Where are the error logs? And how did all that stuff get reconciled? So, but there's no proof of election fraud, people. Just remember that. There's no proof of election fraud. None. No proof anywhere. We've got all these lawsuits, but there's no proof, right? Shameful. I'm gonna pop in here for just a second and talk a little bit about, and I didn't put a link in here yet, but I'm gonna put myself a note here real quick. The Amistad Project did a press conference yesterday here in Northern Virginia in Crystal City. I think it was like a 2-hour presser, and it was pretty scary. So I haven't had a chance to go through all the notes from that, but I watched quite a bit of it last night. And this is, again, remember I told you this week and next week is all going to be about massive data dumps. It's going to be, like I told you, like that 50,000 foot puzzle. All these pieces were going to get dumped out. Well, this is now putting together sections of that puzzle, right? And so this week and next week is all about putting together big sections of the puzzle. We've got the edges. We know what the frame looks like. We know that there was local balloting, local election balloting fraud, all right? And we also know there's systemic election fraud. So we've painted the picture. We know the deep state is super corrupt. We know that there's tons of issues with China and Iran and Russia all playing a role in our elections. So we know now kind of what the general picture frame looks like. And now we're taking the little pieces and starting to push them together into like parts of the puzzle, but those like parts haven't been all pushed together yet. So we're going to get that picture down the road, I think in January, but right now we're just putting the groupings of the puzzle pieces together. So we've got now significant amounts of testimony and proof and whatnot about out into the public sphere about election and ballot fraud. Okay. We know that there, it was big and it was big and very, very wide, I would say. We also have heard from Sidney Powell, but not in the last week so much, about the whole Dominion voting systems piece and the global nature of all of that. So my guess is that's going to be coming out here probably in the next week or two as well, or maybe in January, because I don't know that the details of that need to come out right now in order to be able to paint the picture, because she's already painted and put together those puzzle pieces, and they're kind of sitting off in the corner right now. We've got that part of it done. But now we're kind of getting into the weeds now. So yesterday, I think the biggest, there were a couple of really big things, but nothing new, except we learned yesterday from the Amistad Project about the depths of Mark Zuckerberg's play into the election and all of the details of how he has helped corrupt this election process in general. So last night, one of the really interesting things I read was that the federal government gives about $400 million out to the states for each federal election cycle to help them manage the election process. My guess is that's probably to help pay like elections officers that run polling sites or precinct sites. They get paid. So do some of the other people there. And my guess is that federal money comes into play to pay for those people for their day. So, and the expenses of running elections, et cetera. So it was $400 million the federal government puts into the system to help facilitate the running of elections. Mark Zuckerberg put in $500 million into our U.S. election process, either directly or through nonprofits that he's probably had a hand in helping set up. And they're the groups that put out and created the drop boxes that broke the chain of custody of ballots right from the get-go, trained people on how to do ballot harvesting, trained people on how to do a lot of this really illegal, you know, stuff that happened, and paid for a lot of these people. So that money is floated out here. So we had, instead of having $400 million, we had almost $1 billion of money between the federal government and Zuckerberg out there, where we had one that has good intentions of just helping facilitate the election process, and more than half of that money coming into play to taint the process. So keep that in mind. That was a big bombshell that kind of flew a little bit under the radar yesterday, but the Amistad stuff is all up on social media, kind of all over everywhere. Not probably in Facebook, obviously, because it was Mark Zuckerberg. And God forbid anybody say anything bad about him. But you can certainly find it in Parler, YouTube. There's lots of clips on Rumble. There's lots of clips out there. You can watch pieces and parts of that. So Amistad Project is what you want to look for. And Facebook. All right, that happened yesterday. And then good times, the big one, or another piece of this whole puzzle that came out. I believe that this actually came out on Wednesday, but the declassification of John Brennan's CIA notes prove that the whole Russia hoax business was actually a political hoax. I think that was a pretty big deal. And that came out on the 15th, which was Tuesday after I had done my podcast. So it came out on Tuesday. So, you know, basically kind of the headline here is that, you know, the newly declassified documents released to the U.S. Congress appear to prove the expensive and nationally demoralizing Russian interference narrative was a broad political hoax by the Democratic Party. All right. I joked last night on a Twitter feed, somebody posted up on Twitter something about China. And I said, yeah, or something about Russia. And I said, yeah, Russia is the new code word for China. You can just kind of take the name Russia and just replace it with China and it applies here. So so basically what winds up happening is documents that were released by Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, allegedly show CIA Director John Brennan plotting against a political candidate and appearing to prepare to brief the President of the United States at the time, which was Barack Obama. This is a big deal. And the handwritten notes are generally somewhat redacted, but you can kind of go through and read this. So he actually was sitting in these notes. He was sitting in a meeting with Barack Obama, briefing him on the whole Russia business. And let me just read a piece of this. This is actually a piece from the Federalist. So it says, newly declassified handwritten notes from the former CIA director, John Brennan, show that the U.S. intelligence community knew in 2016 that Russian intelligence was actively monitoring and potentially injecting disinformation into Clinton's anti-Trump collusion narrative. Okay, so instead of, and we knew this, right? It wasn't Trump colluding with the Russians. It was the Russians helping the Clinton campaign create the narrative about Trump. That's what this is really all about. And this all got covered up. Okay, obviously we know this. It got covered up and now it's coming out. So John Ratcliffe, the DNI director of National Intelligence, is the guy. And he did testify here to Congress in that closed door session on Tuesday afternoon. So he provided this information to them then, which I think is pretty important. It says, according to the declassified notes, Brennan and the U.S. intelligence community knew months prior to the 2016 election that the collusion smear was the result of a campaign operation hatched by the campaign of Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. It says, quote, we're getting additional insight into Russian activities from, and then the name is redacted, Brennan's handwritten notes say, quote, they cite alleged approval by Hillary Clinton on 26th of July of a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming interference by the Russian security services. All right, this is in his notes. He actually wrote that. So on July 26th, before the election, it is all out there. So you guys, the House of Cards for the Clintons, again, another little, you know, smaller, but piece of that bigger puzzle has now been put together and it's sitting over here inside of our frame because we know it goes down here in this part of the puzzle, right? So now we have actual documented evidence that Hillary Clinton knew. And so now the next piece of that has to get added in is we got to find the actual piece that says Obama knew and Obama basically told, and I believe it's actually somewhere in here that Obama actually knew and said, don't prosecute Clinton. Okay, that's the next piece of this that's getting ready to come out. So you guys, again, pieces of the puzzle are getting pulled together. We're being able to put the parts and pieces together of all different kinds of things. And it's all getting ready. The House of Cards is getting ready to come down, which is going to be pretty entertaining to watch. All right, so last piece for today, and then I'm going to jump off and we're going to continue watching what's going on this week. And let me say this. Yesterday, there was a really big deal made about, because Ratcliffe testified on Tuesday, that 2018 executive order is supposed to come out no later than Friday. But yesterday, late in the afternoon, early evening, there was a lot of discussion about the intelligence community not wanting to release that document yet. And there was a lot of spin going around yesterday afternoon about why that is. And it's the deep state, you know, interfering in all this stuff. And Ratcliffe did go with the president to the Army-Navy football game on Saturday. That did happen. So I believe he probably briefed the president on that flight. They went to the game Tuesday. He delivered his report to the U.S. Senate Intel Committee. In a closed door session. I believe that there are, you know, and I talked about this in the last podcast, right? There's a lot of long standing career government people who are strong Democrats who are going to protect the Democratic establishment as much as possible. And they don't want to mention the depths of the Chinese involvement in our election process this time around because they don't want to give Trump the talking points. But Ratcliffe is basically saying, you guys need to include everything in here, even the dissenting opinions about what's going on, because we need to provide this information. Now, keep in mind that executive order basically says if there's foreign interference in our elections, that's basically declaring war. If there are domestic people or companies or organizations involved, the U.S. government can come in and confiscate your assets. So if Facebook is actually involved in the election in the way that the Amistad Project painted yesterday, or even a fraction thereof, the U.S. government, in theory, could come in and confiscate Facebook's assets and Zuckerberg's assets as well if his personal money was spent on this. So I think there's some pretty big implications. But that all kind of transpired late in the afternoon. And then last night at 6:06 p.m., there's a joint statement by the FBI, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is called CISA, C-I-S-A, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which is John Ratcliffe. And basically what this joint statement says that this is about the whole business of the group down in Austin, Texas that got caught on Sunday, I believe. And basically what this is a, over the course of the past several days, the FBI, CISA, and ODNI have become aware of a significant and ongoing cybersecurity campaign. Pursuant to the president's directive number 41, these groups have formed a cyber unified coordination group to coordinate the whole of government response to the significant cyber incident. The UCG is intended to unify the individual efforts of these agencies as they focus on their separate responsibilities. This is a developing situation, and while we continue to work under the full extent of this campaign, we know that this compromise has affected networks within the federal government, which it has. A lot of government agencies use that program. SolarWinds. Remember, this is the SolarWinds group down in Austin, Texas. That was actually the Texas Rangers, the FBI, and the U.S. Marshal Service was actually involved in raiding SolarWinds headquarters in Austin, Texas. And we talked about that in episode 14. You can go back and catch that there. So the statement goes on. And I have that link in the show notes. You can go read the direct DNI.gov press release. It was released Wednesday the 16th at 18:06. So that would have been 6:06 p.m. So, that's that. So we've got crazy going on. That's a, if I was to put an analogy on the puzzle piece thing, that's like a four, we got four puzzle pieces together for that one. It's like a little baby piece of the puzzle that's sitting here. Something's going on with that. And this UCG group is basically FBI, CISA, and ODNI coming together to create this group to go and investigate what's going on. My guess is the preliminary investigation, because they actually brought in the Rangers too, and it's the Marshal Service and the FBI, that they act, the FBI can't be super corrupt in this. They actually have to go after this. And so I think what they're going to do is go down that rabbit hole. And I think when they did this in the preliminary investigation over the weekend, that they uncovered a lot of global issues. So now they've got to come back out and look at this from a bigger global perspective, not just a US-based perspective. That then ties back into the 2020 elections report. Again, my guess is that this information from SolarWinds is bigger than just SolarWinds and Dominion Systems, that it probably has an impact on the elections, and it needs to be captured for this report. So what's happened is DNI has asked for an extension on the report. But that doesn't mean that the report's not coming. I just think they've got to reconcile and add in this piece. And I think they've also got to reconcile how they're going to address China within that report in a way that everybody can sign off on. Because it's been reported that Ratcliffe doesn't want to sign off in that report unless it mentions China and China's involvement. And there needs to be more substantive content in there about that. So, wow, you guys, all I can say is we are living in super fascinating times. Never in our lifetime have we seen a coup against our government, but that is exactly what is happening right now. And it's a soft coup right now. So it's not, you know, people pounding down the gates at the White House to remove the president kind of a thing, but it's certainly something. It's certainly something. It's not just a we hate Trump thing. It's way more than that at this point. And all of these little pieces of the puzzle are coming into play, and the picture is getting clearer and clearer by the day. We're pulling together lots and lots of additional pieces of the bigger puzzle. Again, I said, you know, this is like dumping a 50,000 piece puzzle out on your massive kitchen table. And we've created the frame of the picture. We know generally what the frame looks like. We've got all the straight pieces edged out. And now we're starting to put together groups of pieces of that puzzle and kind of putting them in general places where we know they kind of fit in. And that's what's happening this week and next. It's the best analogy I can come up with, you guys, the best analogy. So, wild ride. Who knows what's going to happen today? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow over the weekend? I think that at some point in time soon, by the way, we're also at the top of the hill for all the lawsuits stuff that's getting ready to roll. We've got some in Supreme Court, bunch of state stuff that's happening. All these investigations now, the data dumps of these sampling, the samples of stuff. Maricopa County, I believe, came out with a request to a subpoena, actually, to acquire all of the Dominion voting systems in the state in Maricopa County so they can investigate that. So that's coming out here soon. Wow. Just wow. And I feel like all it is just like more and more and more and more all day long. So, all right, you guys, that's it for me today. I hope you guys have a fantastic day. Buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride. And we get to be front row seats to watch the evolution of our government, the evolution of democracy, the evolution of our republic. And, you know, God bless all of us. God bless all of our patriots. God bless the president and all that are trying to do good in this world. There are a lot of people, even though the media is against us, the media is trying to sell you a narrative that is false. You guys stick with it. If you know people down in Georgia, they need to vote. They need to vote Republican. We have to get Loeffler and Perdue in the Senate. Do I like either one of them? No, I do not. But we cannot let the Democrats have the Senate, even if we retain the White House. Okay, we need to come in and lay down the hammer. And so Republicans need to vote in Georgia. Do not believe the polling numbers out of Georgia and know full well that they're going to cheat their way in this election too. They're going to do everything they can to cheat in this election because nobody's stopping them from doing it right now. So make sure you get people out to vote. Make sure you encourage people in Georgia to vote. If you are from Georgia, go vote and bring 20 of your closest friends and make a day of it. But go vote, help people get to the vote, to vote, all that kind of stuff. God bless us, you guys. We are on a wild ride. Have a good one.